We're told that business is the game of competition, strategy, and profit. But what if the real key to success, the silver bullet, is generosity? Not as a marketing tactic, but as a worldview. Today, we're unpacking why the most successful leaders and businesses operate through a lens of generosity. How they think, how they act, and why it pays off in ways most people never expect. It's the belief that value expands when it's shared, not hoarded. That trust, abundance, and goodwill lead to long-term wins, not just feel-good moments. Think about the leaders you admire most. What do they have in common? More often than not, they operate from generosity, not scarcity. They understand that the more they give, whether it's knowledge, time, opportunities, or resources, the more the influence grows. Welcome to Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. And today we're talking about generosity. Hope you enjoy this. Let's go. Generosity. Can it affect your business? Can it change your life? How important is it? These are the questions I'm asking today, or hoping to unpack for you today, and you can come to your own conclusion and see maybe why generosity is actually important. We are told, the proverbial we, we're told in this game of competition, strategy and profit. What if you have a business that's meant to be both profitable and generous? That your responsibility is to make as much money, but bring as much joy to the world at the same time. Is this possible? Can you do it? And today we want to figure that out. And the real success to business, or the silver bullet as I would call it, I found not only my research for this podcast episode, but in my engaging with business and other people who have businesses, is that generosity is high up, is key. It's not just a marketing tactic. It's not just a way in which you drive more business to yourself, not only for you to look good for other people, but it actually is a worldview. And unless it is a worldview that is embodied by you as the business owner, or those that work for you or work in the company, then it's not going to work. It will be short-lived and it will die out. So how we think about money, how we think about generosity, how we think about our business, and how it can make an impact in the world is what we're going to cover today. So, this is Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and hopefully you can be generous. So to kick things off, let's look at generosity as a worldview. Yeah. Generosity isn't just about giving. It's not only about giving money. It's not only about giving finances. It's not only about giving you of your time and your resources. It is actually how you see the world. It is what you believe. Are you generous in all aspects of your life? Are you willing to give away to make room in your life for other people and the well-being of other people? That's actually what generosity is. And in the business context, it is even more so in your product line, in your profit, all of that. Are we looking to make room in our business to be generous and look after other people and for the well-being of other people? And if you think about these big businesses, and yes, they are profit-driven, and yes, they're making tons of money. But what is the one thing that they have in common? That if you do a bit of digging, a bit of deeper digging, you discover that there's a generosity mindset and not a scarcity mindset. They understand it's better to give than it is to receive. And obviously receiving is good, but giving is even better. So the core principle of a generosity-driven business is giving creates trust. So in other words, as we begin to... as we give more to the... if you have a business that is product-based or service-based, that you give more in your services, you give the extra thing for free. Obviously, is that a cost to your business because there's people doing the work? But if you're giving extra, it builds a level of trust in the consumer has with you as a business, because we know that this business is giving quality, but also that cares about me that much, they're giving more. And so I'll come back and buy. So it creates a level of trust. It has abundance over scarcity, that it acknowledges that your business is doing so well that it's able to give away and give more. So I understand that your business is in abundance. So may create the illusion of abundance, but also from the business owner's perspective, you are willing to give away which you could actually make money off, giving away services or products that you can make money off it, but understanding that, you know, I can make more and I can give away more. So abundance is there. So also, yeah, it forces that abundance over scarcity mindset that you may have. And also, generosity builds networks. Giving attracts giving. It's one of the weirdest principles that I've ever seen, is that if you're able to give away more or give away, it attracts the people, like-minded people that also love to give away. And it can build a network of givers and people that's maybe in a similar business line as what you're doing, or auxiliary or complementary business services, that you're able to build a network. So then you're able to supplement something within your product line or your supplement a service or a portion of your production line with another company, and you never know what type of partnerships can be fostered. Like if you have a coffee, you have a coffee business, and there's a bakery, you can partner with a bakery with a coffee and a croissant, specialized croissant, because you both have never met, potentially have never met each other. If you haven't together given away at a homeless shelter, giving away free coffee and free biscuits or confectioneries. That way you've built a network, built a potential business venture based off of giving. I mean, that's a service-based, product-based, but I mean, there's many more things like this where you actually build a network. And it's good to work with people who are like-minded. Like-minded people, not same-minded in terms of you have the same mentality, but just a like-mindedness where you have a similar outlook, that you can either you can enrich each other's worldviews. So, yeah. It builds a network. Generosity builds a network. And then finally, people remember generosity. The most enduring brands, the most giving brands are the ones that are remembered most. Over those are the ones that are that tend to take away from you most. So, I mean, this is the worldview. So, and I know in a climate where finances or the cost of living is ever increasing and it's even more difficult to give away, I would suggest being more intentional about making room, even though the room may be a little bit smaller, but be intentional about where as you drive for more profits, that you drive to maintain or even increase your ability to give, because your brand and your product will be remembered for what you give and how people feel and connect with your brand and your business, rather than just you wanting to take away. And on a personal level, let's move it away slightly from the business aspect of giving and generosity. From a personal standpoint, it is important to love generously and understand. And I, from a Christian based, I love Jesus. And the mentality and the thinking behind generosity is that all things are made by God. All things that I have, my ability to work and the ability to generate resources, all these things and the things that I have is given to me as a gift by God. And so therefore he has more to give, and he inquires of me or requires of me to give more and to live generously to those that do not have. And so when you have that mindset about money and resources, that it is a resource to give more rather than a resource to consistently acquire and build for myself only. And so when you begin to make that shift, when the anxiety hits of owning a business and when the budget is tight, as it often does, and it's that you'd never lose the fact that all of this belongs to God, and it, being able to work is a gift, and God gives you the opportunity. God can give you the work. And it requires of you to obviously to do the work, to go and mine for jobs and all those type of stuff. That doesn't stop. Your end of the bargain doesn't stop. But understanding that all these things is a gift from God. And he still requires of us to be a gift to other people. So I know many times in my business journey, when things have gotten so intense that I've been so money focused, I've realized that my standard of living or my quality of living is obviously diminished because I'm stressed, I'm worried, I'm panicky. That's affecting my family. But in those moments, God has often required of me to be generous to other people, being able to fund a meal for a family in need, even though my financial situation is extremely dire or challenging, to put it that way. But out of that obedience, I've understood that this rands, this little paper piece of paper money, yes, is there. They need it more than me. And so therefore I will give. And looking at my business and building into the business a what we call a generosity fund, building it into the business, some bit of fat of the profit that we can put in there for a rainy day for people, for random acts of kindness. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But that's the mindset shift as a business owner or as a person about generosity, particularly in these challenging times. So you're probably wondering, Jason, so where did you come up with this? This is a very interesting thought, but there are actually business cases of businesses that have been generous and it has resulted in an increase in profit margins. Yes, generosity actually has a real world effect. So I'm going to highlight a few of them, and these are the ones I found on the net. So there's a beautiful article. There's a beautiful article here from Forbes magazine. It's The Power of Generosity, How Giving Back Drives Business Growth. Brilliant concept and a very interesting article and some things for you to have a look at. And so obviously this is, if you're on YouTube, you're watching the video edition of this podcast, then you can see what I'm scrolling. But if you're not, you can go type in, you can actually just type in The Power of Generosity Forbes article and you'll find this, and or click on the link in the description and I'll send it to you there. And one of the companies they mentioned is Patagonia. So Patagonia is what they call an outdoor clothing brand. And what they did, at least according to the article, was Patagonia the outdoor apparel company has built a loyal customer base, not just through their high quality products, but through its commitment to environmental causes by pledging 1% of its sales to environmental initiatives and integrating sustainable practice into its operations. So in that way, Patagonia has curated and cultivated this environmental brand by giving 1% of the profit back to environmental initiatives, and also in their production process, changing the process to be more, or retrofitting it to be more environmentally friendly. Yes, they're outside brands, so that makes sense. To be more generous with the approach, and they analyze feedback, to be able to understand the needs and where you can obviously, so yeah, and so then as the brand grew for being a sustainable brand and a brand that gives back, obviously their loyalty grew, and it's Patagonia. The next one is Tom's Shoes. So Tom's Shoes, now this is a shoe brand, which is really cool. So the shoe brand, they made a pledge for every shoe that was purchased, they will donate a shoe for a child in need or for a person in need, which I can only imagine is super expensive. Because yeah, if you look at the website, you're seeing, yeah, it is boutique shoes, special shoes, well, 15% off. They give me 15% off. But it's boutique special shoes, high-end shoes, which is actually quite stylish. I'm not going to lie. If I wore Tom's Shoes, I probably would. But for every shoe that they made, they pledged to give one shoe away for someone in need. And then, for instance, Microsoft with their CSR programs, and this is corporate social responsibility, like CSI as well. So for the focus on global health, education, and the environmental sustainability, they invested in that. They invested in those particular areas through charitable contributions. And obviously, it increased their notoriety, increased their image, or gave a positive image, and people potentially started using more of Microsoft. And this was a well-implemented strategy to enhance a company's reputation, mitigate risk, and create opportunities for growth. So whatever you feel about Microsoft, they've invested the money into these areas, whether it be environmental sustainability, ethical labor practices, charitable contributions, and they've just trying to position Microsoft as being a responsible citizen and all those that are working for it. And then there's another one, which is the last one which I want to mention. Because I mean, there's so many, if you actually Google it, there's so many examples of it. Fabrique, this is the one I was going to mention. So Dana Spinola, founder and CEO of Fabrique, built completely free boutiques inside safe houses and home shelters, homeless shelters, so women in crisis can get one-on-one kind of experience to help restore their strength, dignity, and hope. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So they've, yeah. So, I mean, those are the type of stuff that you have to think about, like that. Those are things that make sense. So they've recognized what area of skill, or the area of production that the business is good at, and that's what they do, and utilize their services and their skill set to meet a need for someone or a people group in their community or in the community at large. Absolutely brilliant. That is the spirit of generosity. That is absolutely the spirit of generosity and something we should never, never, ever forget. I mean, and there's another one, Warby Parker, this is a generosity cycle, by giving a pair of glasses for everyone's soul. So there is proof and case studies, and one could make an argument, if you really wanted to argue about it, that these are already established brands and this is just maybe a PR exercise, which then will heighten give a more positive spin, on the image of the company and organizations, but people still was impacted by their actions, and it did drive business. So if you're a business owner out there listening to this, man, for a good sound business strategy, give more. If that is your intention, if you just want to drive business, give more. But move beyond just the business strategy. May you be internally be transformed and see how that affects all aspects of life. Now, let's be a bit more, clinical about this, the psychology of generosity in business. People are wired to return generosity. When we're given something by someone, we have the internal response is to give. Whether give back to the same person who gave to you or give to someone else. We want to reciprocate this action that was done to us or for us. And so the psychology behind it is if you give, people will give. It's just down our human nature. And yes, there are outliers of that and some people just want to receive and they give nothing back. But the general nature of who we are as human beings is to give after we've been given. Secondly, scarcity creates fear and actually stifles and chokes every sort of future growth of your business or future planning, because the scarcity mindset, like I said, it stops blocks the neural pathways. We end up just focusing on what we don't have instead of what we're able to generate and build and grow and give away. So if you're only thinking about money and what you don't have, you'll never end up making the money that you wish you had, because you're only focusing on what you don't have. But if you approach your situation with a generous mindset and say, what can I give away? What can I do more for others today? Just to break out of their mindset. I know I've had to do that many times in business. It didn't make financial sense to do certain things, to do a job for free or to do a job for the discounted rate for someone else. But when I did it, it was the best decision because it broke the mindset of scarcity. I broke my thought process and my mindset on scarcity, and I was able to generate ideas for another business aspect of my business or for another entity that I was involved in. But if I was only focusing on what I don't have and the lack thereof, that is a singular focus which does not leave room to build or to get me out of the situation. So if you're in a mindset, if you're in a scarcity mindset, you will remain in the scarcity mindset unless you break out of it by either being generous or shifting your focus to something else. Generosity makes you unforgettable. When you're able to give and not rub it in people's face, you will be able to give. You'll be unforgettable. As a business, you'll be unforgettable. Like these companies that I mentioned earlier. That you'll never forget about them because they were just so generous to people in need. And I would rather be known as the generous business than a business that just seeks to take money from you. Because if people feel slighted and if people feel robbed, they will not want to work with you, no matter how good your product is. Finally, how do we implement generosity? And now I'm going to move away from the purely the business concept to more a more general aspect of business generosity. And there's amazing opportunity. These are multiple ways in which you could do this. Number one, a lifestyle cap. This is where it's a particular lifestyle which you and your family members and your partner wants, that you believe this is the lifestyle you want to have. And anything above that lifestyle is not what you're living for. So in other words, if you for generating enough income, you are able to then meet all the bills that you need to and live comfortably. And anything that is above that, you then move, you then put it away for a generosity fund. Move it, and that is for random acts of kindness that you want to give someone. So in other words, you're in McDonald's, drive through, pay for the person behind you, pay for the meal, or paying for someone's groceries when you just come to the checkout till and someone's in front of you, or pay for it. And those are the type of things you do. But you build a lifestyle cap. And I've seen it, examples of it is absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant concept. Definitely would do it. But secondly, as I mentioned, is a generosity fund. You can either have a separate part of your bank account, open up a savings account that you put X amount of money in once you've paid all your bills, and then you can build that up and you can have a target, a specific target you want to reach for the year. That's a very good idea to do that. And then there's also this thing called a generosity tracker. Now, this concept I discovered this is how I would track my generosity. And there are many ways. There's other ways which are similar to this. There's many apps you can, like a budgeting app in which you can put a specific line item for giving or random acts, and then you can track. You can track how much you're giving. Set a goal, please. So this thing is called Adam Grant's Generosity Tracker. And this is a brilliant tool which you can add to your it helps you map out what you're giving. So yeah, this is a cool weekly reflection. This is an example of how he would map this out in terms of what is how much giving, how generous you really are. And this is, you look at all the stuff that you're involved in, all the potential engagements with people that you are involved in. And it's brilliant. So you can, then you categorize that particular encounter with either you a taker from that encounter, you a giver, or you matching the intention of the person that you were meeting with or the task that you were doing. So in other words, if you have a project, that you have to do with three other people, then were you matching in that encounter, giving the same amount of energy, ideas, concepts? Are you helping to push the project forward, or were you a taker, or were you a giver? And then you're able to then map them out, obviously the date, and then you can, at the end of a week, you can see how much giving, how much taking, how much matching you were doing. So that's one way in which you can start to cultivate this thing of this concept of giving and taking. And it's brilliant. So now you can then further categorize it between workplace, clients, and personal. So, I mean, that's even a further breakdown of it. But it's important to start cultivating the habit of tracking how much giving you do. I'm on the process and I had this idea. What if you can build an app that actually tracks all your financial and similarly resource time giving? So build an app that tracks it anywhere, real-time information logging. So anywhere around the world, how much you're giving, different currencies, what you are giving, and into a single app. You input the information and it puts this map out there and it can tell you exactly how much you're giving. You can set potential financial goals, giving goals that you want to reach. And this, imagine there was an app for that. I don't know if there is one yet. I haven't found one, but I was just thinking maybe I should try and build an app like that. I think it would be a really cool idea. Yeah, maybe. It's on the thought bubble. It's in the thought bubble. But keeping track of how much you give is actually important because one, it shows that you're on track with your giving. Two, it highlights when you're not giving enough. But three, it helps you refine your giving to, if you're aiming at a specific group of people to give towards them, you can see how much you've given towards, say, women in need. Next month, you want to focus on youth. And the following month, you want to focus on families. youth education, music, all this type of stuff. So you can spread it out and you can see how much are you meeting your targets in your giving process and in your giving plan. So yeah, track how much you're giving. I think just in summing all these things up, it's like, one, give value before you sell. Give more than what you intended to give, but give value before you sell. Build a generosity model into your business and into your life. Build it in. Wherever you can, find ways to build it in. Thirdly, help others win. It's important to think of others, help others win. It actually helps you as a business owner, help others win. Lastly, eat from an abundance mindset. And we'll see how your business flourishes. I would really like to see if you've applied these principles to your business and your life and see how to fix your life. But yeah, leave a comment below and tell me, hey Jason, 3 months from now, I've tried thinking of others. I've tried building a generosity model into my business where I take 5% of the profit and I still save it, and I look at projects I can give back to other people. Do that. And then my business has flourished as a result. So yeah. Yeah. So generosity is not just an idea or concept to grow your business. It's a worldview. It's a way of life. And I guarantee you, if you adopt the process and you adopt the worldview of being more generous, your life will be a lot fuller, but also you'll see generosity in your business. And I see your business grow. Thank you for listening to Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. I hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, leave a comment, like and subscribe. I would love to hear from you. If you'd love to send me an email, jason@createfluencesite.com, I'll gladly love to hear from you. So let's be generous today. Thank you.